you guys. Welcome back to Flickers of Fear, my little movie review series. So I remember back in 2006 when this zombie comedy movie called Fido first came out. And at the time, I was like really, really interested to see it. I mean, it looked like a hilarious concept. It had the delightful Scottish comedian Billy Connolly as, you know, as the zombie. And I was still kind of feeling a lot of, I guess, like residual goodwill toward the zombie comedy genre because, you know, Shaun of the Dead had come out only a couple of years before. And of course, that was a classic. But then, like, for whatever reason, I just never got around to seeing Fido. And sadly, it really seems to have become one of those kind of largely forgotten movies that people don't really talk about all that much anymore. So when I was scrolling through Tubi the other day and I saw that it was free to watch, I thought that I would finally be like, oh, I've been wanting to see that for like a really long time and I'd kind of forgotten about it. So it's like, why don't I just rectify that embarrassing oversight like right now and I'll give it a look and I'll review it for the show. And now I have to admit, I'm kind of kicking myself for waiting 16 goddamn years to watch this movie, because it's a great movie. I mean, it's really, really good. It's very funny. It's very heartfelt. Has some gore in it as well. And it has like a really good, like very dry, like black humor. Also has some very, very sharp social satire that's presented like in such a charming way that it never really feels like forced or shoehorned in or anything like that. Now, I've seen it pitched in more than one review as essentially, what if George Romero had directed Pleasantville, like the movie from 1998? And I will say that's a fairly accurate summation. That gives you like a ballpark of what the movie is like. But I kind of feel like it has, I don't know, like a lot more scrappy lovableness to it than maybe that brief, very glib description would suggest. So Fido is a Canadian movie, and it was directed by a guy named Andrew Curry. Now, in it, here's kind of like the thing for it. It posits a sort of alternate, idealized 1950s where the planet Earth traveled through some sort of space radiation, like at some point prior to the 1950s, which was actually, I guess, kind of like a nod to Night of the Living Dead, because that was also space radiation, or that's what they thought the cause of the zombie outbreak was. So this radiation like reanimated all the corpses and transformed them into flesh-eating zombies, obviously. Now, in the universe of this movie, you don't have to get bit by a zombie to become one. Like, everybody will become a zombie after they die, which, like I said later on, like The Walking Dead did that as well. Now, at some point in the past, like prior to the events of the film, there was apparently a series of zombie wars in which you're led to assume like lots and lots of people as well as lots and lots of zombies were wiped out. Now, in the wake of all these wars, though, there was a large corporation called ZomCon, which essentially like emerged victorious, right? Like they figured out a way to fit the remaining zombies with special collars that would tamp down their people eating urges and allow them to be used for like manual labor or just like, you know, jobs that didn't take a lot of, you know what I mean? Like, but you know, just like being servants or picking up garbage or whatever the hell, you know what I mean? Just like kind of manual labor type jobs. Now, as it is stands, like when the movie starts, 90% of the population, you know, essentially like the 90% that are poor, are just allowed to zombify after death and are then like turned into servants by ZomCon, you know, and they sell them to people like as servants, while the top 10%, obviously the elite, the rich people, get fancy funerals complete with separate head coffins to ensure that they don't reanimate, because like I said, you have to cut the head off. Now, although this isn't explicitly stated in the movie, but I felt like the insinuation was that ZomCon essentially runs the government, you know what I mean? Or like is the government in some fashion. There's not really, I mean, this is pretty contained to one town like the story is, so it's like you don't really get much of a sense of like the wider world, but that was like the implication that I got. Like they have these trucks that kind of like patrol these very pleasant tree-lined suburban streets or whatever, and they very discreetly like round up any zombies that are troublesome, and they take them back to the factory for like tune-ups periodically and stuff like that if they're collared color isn't working right. They also produce these hysterical, like, educational short films, one of which actually, like, opens the movie and sort of, like, explains the premise, like, to the audience. And these short films are, like, essentially, like, about the zombie menace. Like, they're made for school kids. And one of the funniest things in it is that one of the things is that they have to remind everybody that elderly people are never to be trusted because they could drop dead at any moment and, like, become one of the undead. They could zombify, so you can't, like, trust them at any time. And another thing, too, that they're kind of pushing hard is that all citizens, like, even children, should always be, like, armed at all times and, like, ever vigilant in case, like, some zombie shit goes down. So, like, in the thing, like, there's, like, a scene in the school, like, where they teach them, they, you know, the kids, like, learn everything by, like, rote memorization, and they even have, like, a little rhyme that's, like, taught to the school children: in the brain and not the chest, headshots are the very best. And then they have them out in the yard, like, practicing, like, with their rifles and stuff like that on, like, little zombie targets and shit like that. Like, that's their class, and they call it, like, outdoor activities or something like that. So the funniest thing about all this is that it's all, like, couched in this idyllic atmosphere of a very wholesome, like, 1950s sitcom, like Lassie or Leave It to Beaver. Not, like, in a real self-aware kind of way, you know what I mean? Like, because you know how there's that kind of difference where it's, like, something could just either be genuinely like that, or it's like that, and it's, like, aware that it's like that, so it's kind of, like, winking at the audience. This one is not really winking at the audience, which I think makes it funnier. So, I mean, none of the characters in the movie, like, think any of this stuff that's going on is particularly weird or sinister. Like, why would they? That's just, like, the way that they grew up. This is the world that they know. It's just the way that things are. And this is the way that things have to be, like, in order to maintain their kind of, like, cushy lifestyles in suburbia, right? So nobody really even seems all that bothered by the fact that anybody that causes any kind of dissension is apparently sent to what they call the Wild Zone, which is, like, outside of the safety of the town where all the zombies, like, are allowed to kind of roam around uncontained, and you sort of have to, like, fend for yourself. You don't have ZomCon out there to, like, protect you. So the action in the movie takes place in this town called Willard, and we're following the Robinson family. So the mom is named Helen, and she's played by Carrie Ann Moss, who is great in this. Dad is called Bill, and he's played by Dylan Baker, who is also great. And their son, Timmy, who's probably like 11, 12 years old, something like that, who's played by Kasun Ray. Now, initially, the Robinsons are kind of portrayed as this very stereotypical, like, 50s family ideal. Mom is, like, this dutiful housewife who always looks perfect, like, with the pearls and the high heels, never has a hair out of place, all that kind of stuff. And Dad is kind of, like, sort of goofy, distant, uninvolved. Like, he just wants to while away his weekends playing golf with the boys. He doesn't really want to spend time hanging out with his wife or his kids or anything like that. So there's also kind of, like, this unspoken, I guess, like, undercurrent of sort of consumerism and, like, keeping up with the Joneses and stuff like that, very much like something from the 50s would have been. Appearances are paramount, like, it's the most important thing. So when the new head of security at ZomCon, who is a guy named Jonathan Bottoms, and he moves in, or he's played by Henry Zerny, I guess is how you pronounce that guy's last name, he moves in with his family, like, across the street from the Robinsons. And at that point, like, Helen starts to agitate for their family, like, getting a zombie servant of their very own, because she's really, really embarrassed to be in the only family in town that doesn't have at least one zombie. Because she's, like, saying to her husband, she's like, you know, they, you know, the new head of security who just moved in across the street, they have 6 zombies and we don't even have one. And, like, people are talking, you know what I mean? So it was that kind of stuff. Now, the reason that they don't have a zombie is because of Bill. Now, although Bill will never admit this out loud, Bill is actually kind of, like, terrified of zombies. Ever since he was forced to kill his dad when he was a child, like, after his dad zombified in front of him and, like, tried to eat him. So he kind of has a lot of, like, residual trauma about that. But Helen, of course, like I said, she's very status conscious, so she kind of goes behind his back and buys a zombie for them anyway. And although, like, Bill's pretty pissed off about it, but he kind of, like, grudgingly goes along for the sake of sort of, like, I guess, conforming to the community standards. He just wants to look like and seem like everybody else on the street. He doesn't want to stand out. So their son, Timmy, meanwhile, is having his own problems. He's constantly being bullied in school, particularly by these two boys who are kind of like, oh, because ZomCon also has like a thing like a Boy Scouts type of thing where they're kind of like, you know, they're like they're little recruits. They're like little ZomCon scouts and they have little uniforms and everything. So two of those little boys like beat up on Timmy all the time. One day, though, like, while the bullies are picking on him, the zombie, like, intervenes and frightens the asshole kids away. And after this, like, Timmy kind of begins to befriend this, you know, just groaning zombie. And so he names him Fido and starts teaching him to, like, fetch and play catch and things like that. And this whole, kind of whole situation is, like, it's funny, but it's also, like, kind of bittersweet because Timmy is clearly in need of a father figure that Bill is, you know, either unable or unwilling to provide to him. So the boy is basically like using this zombie as like a surrogate dad. And as the movie goes on too, it starts to become like equally obvious that Helen, the wife, is also starting to recognize the zombie's like humanity and also kind of has a thing where she realizes that Fido can maybe like give her the attention that her husband won't. It doesn't get like too like gross or like necrophilia or anything like that, but you know, it does kind of like suggest that a little bit. So not too long into this whole situation or the whole story or whatever, it so happens that Fido's collar malfunctions. Not necessarily malfunctions, it happens in a particular way, but I'm not gonna spoil it. And he ends up like partially eating a horrible neighbor lady, which actually ends up causing a minor zombie outbreak in Willard because, you know, once he kind of partially eats her, obviously she wakes up and she's a zombie and then, you know what I mean? And she's like laying in the park. Nobody knows she's dead for a while. So a couple other zombies are like running around. And eventually there's like an investigation that sort of like leads back to Fido and so leads back to the Robinson family. So it's starting to like threaten this little family that Timmy is starting to establish, like the friendship that he's starting to establish with the zombie and like the relationship that his mom is starting, like the friendship that his mom is starting to have with the zombie as well. Like I said, is they're kind of like recognizing that the zombie is a person, like kind of becoming curious about the person he used to be like before he died and stuff like that. So, I mean, one of the great things about this movie, like among the many things, is just the subtlety of it. And it's just like the humor is just very affable. It just has like this really friendly, like gentle kind of humor. Like this over the top premise totally works because everything is presented like very matter of factly, like very pragmatically. Like even when, for example, like Helen, like toward the end, has to kind of like step up, like take out some zombie kids and you basically like burn down the evidence like to keep from getting caught. She's not hysterical. She's not hand wringing, nothing like that. She just kind of like does what she needs to do, like to protect her family, and she's just like completely unflappable, you know, and resolute like the whole time, because that's just everybody in this world has grown up around zombies. So they're all kind of like prepared. Like if something goes wrong, they're very like calm about it. Oh, well, headshot, bang. You know what I mean? So they're not like, they don't get like upset about it. And so I think they did a good job of like portraying that where it's not really that big a deal. You know what I mean? Like you're led to believe that like the zombies don't bust out like that often, but everybody has had it drilled into them from childhood that it could happen. And it's like, everybody has to be prepared, like in case it does happen. So everyone is just kind of like ready for like any kind of like anomalies when they occur. And I have to say, I mentioned this earlier, but Carrie Ann Moss, she kills it in this movie. She kind of like finds this perfect balance between, like I said, just kind of like this perfect status conscious 50s housewife, like your stereotypical type of June Cleaver type of woman. And this very obviously like very strong, very almost kind of like very desperate woman who's, you know, yearning to break free from her very humdrum life. It's like she wants romance, she wants excitement, she wants things like that. She realizes that her husband isn't really going to give that to her, this environment isn't really going to give that to her. And you can kind of like see that reflected, even though, like I said, it's very, very subtle. And really, I mean, all of the characters in this are way more nuanced and a lot more like finely drawn than you would expect, or even that you would like have to be, like considering that, you know, this is a zombie comedy movie, like you wouldn't expect there to be like these kind of richly drawn characters, but they actually are. And all of them have their own like really good like character arc. And I think this really plays well with the whole theme of the movie, which is kind of, you know, again, like gently skewering this enforced conformity and, you know, this subservience to the appearance of perfection that sort of like categorized that era, like the 1950s era. I mean, for example, this is a really good example of that, of what I'm talking about. Like, the Robinson's neighbor, whose name is Mr. Theopolis, and he's played by Tim Blake Nelson. He's kind of introduced as though he's going to be like some kind of weirdo or like pervert or something like that, because he dresses like, you know, Hugh Hefner by way of Hunter S. Thompson. And he has a young zombie woman in his house who's named Tammy and is obviously his girlfriend. You know what I mean? Even though, like, nobody says that out loud, but everyone's like, mm-hmm. Like, we know that she's not just, like, doing maid work in there. So it's that kind of thing. So you can see that they're kind of, like, setting him up like that. But he ends up being essentially, like, one of the heroes of the movie. So I like that they kind of, like, subverted those expectations. I mean, it's just kind of like these delicate shades of depth that are revealed about each character, like as the story plays out. I mean, even the very aloof and dorky and almost like comically detached Bill is, you know, again, shown to have his own issues that are kind of like informing his behavior. And he also kind of like gets a little bit of a redemption arc, like toward the end. I also have to give a particular shout out to the awesome Billy Connolly here, who plays Fido, the zombie. He has zero lines of dialogue in the entire movie, and yet still manages to convey like a very, very large array of emotions using nothing but this just kind of like rotting face that he has and his very stilted like body movements. I think one of the particular highlight is these really creepy, these like toothy kind of smiles that he does. I can't do it, but it's just like, it's just, they're like hysterically funny and also like really, really unsettling at the same time. Like, he generally like looks like a walking corpse, but he's also like really, really sympathetic, and he's really funny without being like really overt. The cinematography in this is also beautiful. It actually looks way more expensive than the movie's very modest budget would indicate. Everything is very, very colorful and almost slightly hyper real. Maybe not quite as stylized as, like, you know, Edward Scissorhands or something like that, but more along the lines of, if you guys remember that movie Far From Heaven, like from 2004 or something like that, or more recently, like maybe the Mad Men TV series, like that kind of, it has that kind of sheen to it, which I think is like really, it really ties in well, like with the story. So even though this movie isn't quite as zany, I guess, as Shaun of the Dead, although Shaun of the Dead isn't all that zany either, but it's not quite as zany as that, but I thought Fido was every bit as funny as Shaun of the Dead, even though a lot of the gags are kind of maybe slightly low-key. Like, for example, like, you know, Life magazine, like some of the people are reading that, except now it's called Death, but it has like the same logo and everything like that, and this is like never pointed out overtly, it's just kind of like a background type of thing, and a lot of the humor is kind of like that, where nothing is like pointed to, it's just like in the background, you have to notice it. And I think a lot of the humor too comes from the really practical, very like nonchalant reactions that the characters have to the situations that they find themselves in. I mean, the whole movie too like works pretty brilliantly as a satire, not only of kind of like the McCarthy era and the Red Scare and all that kind of stuff, but also of the particular political climate at the time that it was made, particularly shit like the Patriot Act and stuff like that, and really of kind of any overarching system of corporatism and conformity that, you know, maybe marginalizes those who are different or anything like that. So it's satirizing a lot of that, even though it's specifically satirizing the 50s, like the conformity of the 50s. I mean, that all sounds really deep, I guess, but Fido, it's not a polemic, it's not like in your face about it. It's really, it's just like a fun, very humorous film, like with a lot of heart to it. And the underlying themes are there if you want to unpack them, or if you want to like notice them, or if not, it's just like a fun, funny movie just on its own. So I'm actually really happy that I finally got around to seeing this movie after all this time, as it really was delightful. It was a treat, seriously. I just laughed my ass off so many times. But I mean, I just hope that one day it is able to kind of like garner the massive cult following that it so richly deserves, because like I said, I really feel like not a lot of people talk about it anymore, and that's kind of a shame, because I think this is every bit as good as Shaun of the Dead. So if you haven't seen it, then I would advise like checking it out. Let me tell me what you thought about it. Like I said, it's on Tubi for free. free, at least as of this recording. Or if you've seen it, like, let me know what you thought about it in the comments. And that'll do it for this Flickers of Fear. I'll see you guys again on the next one. Bye.